Tailwind Nutrition. If you need to get some fuel and some electrolytes in one drink, then it's Tailwind.
You know, their website has changed over the years, and I just saw a new version of it. The thing I didn't know, and I need to talk to Jenny about this. I don't know if this has always been the case.
Jenny, the founder of...
Jenny and Jeff.
Right, of Tailwind Nutrition.
The founder of Tailwind Nutrition.
Right.
They're the ones that had the KitchenAid machine in the kitchen that started
right.
this whole thing.
Yes.
But if you order $49 worth or more, you get free shipping.
Yeah.
Another great value add that they've done over at Tailwind Nutrition.
It's like Tailwind is renowned for getting from point A to point B on the trail, and now they've done it in the Postal Service as well. I like it.
Has everything you need, has the electrolytes, it has the calories that are easily absorbed, and the flavor will knock your socks off.
That was my comment, Scott. It tastes good too, which is important.
Go to our partners page, and you can link on over to Tailwind Nutrition. Okay. Harry's.com is sponsoring today's podcast.
Scott, I'm a Harry's man.
That doesn't mean that you have hair on your face, Don.
No, it's not. But I don't even set my alarm in the morning, Scott, because I'm so enthusiastic about waking up to shave. I just get up.
You jump out of bed to get that razor in
your hand. I do.
You can get a free trial set.
Free as in free?
As in no dollars, except there is a shipping fee.
How much?
It's only $3.
And what do I get?
But what you get is a Truman razor.
Yes.
A blade.
Right.
Foaming shave gel.
Right.
And a travel blade cover. It should last you about 2 weeks if you shave every day.
All of that for $3.
All of that for $3. But if you go and you enter the code TRN, you get the post-shave balm, which we've talked about.
Yeah, you know, Scott, there's a reason that they do that. It's worth more than $3, but they know this. Once you go Harry's, you don't go back.
Harry's.com/TRN. We talk about community.
We do.
In this podcast, we talk about community.
Yes.
And one of the great ways to participate in the community is by subscribing to Ultra Running Magazine.
It's like being there without being there.
It's almost like you're getting a family photo album every month.
It is, because the trail running community is your family. And they really are. Because I was thinking about this during the podcast when we were talking about community. You know, members of this community really do care about one another.
I feel like I have built-in coaches that I can learn from every single episode.
It's almost as if there's an aid station along the way between aid stations, because when you come up against or with another runner, they're comrades.
And Ultra Running Magazine can be that comrade. You can get a discount if you go to our partners page, hit Ultra Running Magazine link, and get yourself a subscription.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
The problem with the message above is that it flies in the face of what we know to be true.
Yeah. I do own my own bar. every Friday morning on I Run Far, we open up the taps.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything.
Welcome
like that
to
emoji, that girl.
Anime, not yet. Don was just about to start.
I was just rolling. You totally disrupted the mojo. Okay, are we ready? Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott War, and today in Studio G, we have Billy Yang of Billy Yang Films.
Thank you guys for having me.
And we've really enjoyed. We recently, about a month ago, We joined a screening of his latest film, Life in a Day, up at an old theater in Auburn, California. Where else would you want to watch a film about ultra running than at the finish line of the Western States 100?
It's a perfect spot.
And we started talking to Billy, saying, you know, that was such a really good film. We'd like to dive deeper into that film. And so Billy said, well, why don't we get the characters of that film on the podcast? So Billy, go ahead and talk about what is Life in a Day, and then you can introduce the guests.
Life in a Day is my latest film. It's about an hour long, and it features four fantastic women from all different parts of the country and abilities. Well, not abilities. They're all pretty fast women. We have three of the four stars with us today. Starting with Miss Anime Flynn, who's a Solomon runner and formerly of Lake Tahoe, now lives in Carbondale, I want to say. Is that right, Anime?
Carbondale. Colorado. Carbondale.
And Ms. Magdalena Boulay, who runs for Hoka and GU and who is the VP of Product Development for the latter company I mentioned, for GU Energy Labs in Northern California. So she wears many hats, mm-hmm. including quite literally the GU hat. And last but not least, Ms. Devin. I just blanked on your last name.
Yanko.
Devin Yanko, thank you. Devin Yanko runs for Hoka Wazelle, and it is one half of the operations at MH Bread and Butter in San Anselmo, one of my favorite eateries in the Marin County.
What's,
okay.
Okay, Anime, you need to explain that because that's on you because we're on video and we saw that.
That was not in Studio G.
No. What just happened there, Anime?
So I don't have service. I'm off grid at my house in Marble. So I'm currently at work, which is at Basalt Middle School. And my buddy, the janitor here, is working late. So he's just doing his thing.
Awesome.
Does he run? Maybe he wants to join us.
I don't know if he runs, but he looks pretty fit. He's got some big muscles.
Billy Yang, tell us a little bit about this film and about, what your message is, and then we're going to get into what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, just high level stuff. I wanted to make a film for a while about the women's side of the Western States, a race I love. And, I think everyone here does. And, I had a few people in mind, and Magda was definitely one of them. And then I came to know Devin and Anime and of course Casey. And yeah, we just hired a small crew, followed them around, did some filming before as well in their respective hometowns of Omaha and Lake Tahoe at the time for Anime and the Marin County for both Devin and Magda. So, the end product was Life in a Day.
Where did you come up with that title?
The title was a quote from the great Ann Trason, who always described running 100 miles as living a life in a day. And I think a lot of the themes, it just made so much sense to me for a title. And I think when everyone sees the movie, hopefully they'll see why.
So Billy Yang has this idea of a film. And I'm going to just go around the group here. Magda, we'll start with you. How did you find out? How did Billy call you and say, hey, I have this idea for a film and I'd like you to be in it? Walk us through that. Devin, you're next, and Anime, you'll be after that. Oh, well, you make something up. Ladies, I can see you throwing your hands in the air. You don't know. Think back.
Did you know who Billy Yang was when he calls you up? Did you think it was a prank call?
We'll start with Magda. You two ladies, figure that out.
Definitely not a prank call. I think that everyone in the community knows Billy's work, and it's an honor to be invited to be a part of a project with awesome women that you're going to be competing with and against. And it's just I living in California, living in Northern California, and knowing and Trason and kind of what with Billy's thought was behind the quote and what he was looking for to make was very attractive. And I knew that anyone who's going to be part of this movie is going to have incredible stories, and that it was going to be something powerful.
Did you know when he invited you, when you first called, did he tell you what the title was and the theme of the movie was?
Yes, I think that, just explaining, I'm sure that, the vision was born way before he reached out to us, and it just made sense. So, that's kind of what ultras are, it is, you experience so much in just one day, sometimes it takes people, a lifetime to experience what 100-mile race can give you.
So, Devin, you're next. Did he just start following you around with the camera, or did he actually call you first?
Oh, he showed up one day at the bakery and, like, wouldn't leave, and just feed him. And
who is this guy?
Well, they have great food. What do you want?
Billy was at Sean O'Brien last year, which is where I got my golden ticket. And maybe I was just so entertaining that he wanted to put me in this film. I was having, like I do, quite a day that day, and had lots of highs and lows, and he captured it all. And so, but we also talked about, like, why Western States was important to me. So maybe that's why. I don't know why he picked me.
Because you're awesome, Devin.
Run. I cry a lot.
Anna May, what was your and you could say I had no idea until I saw the film. You could say that too if you'd like. What when did you first learn you were in the film? Maybe now you're just finding out.
Yeah, I just watched the film yesterday.
Yeah,
And it was amazing. I was watching it in my car before I was out of service, and just like crying on the side of the road, like, Billy, you did it again. But yeah, I basically, I watched one of Billy's films, The CCC, the capture of a few of those Nike, extreme Nike boys over there in France and Chamonix. And I think I was in the Bay Area for the screening of that before TNF last year, and just never had the opportunity to meet Billy in person, but have just heard great things from friends, Alex Varner being one of them, and Josh Arthur. And so I think just through the grapevine, somehow I found myself part of one of the films, and yeah, a little, you know, humbled, and just, yeah.
So
beautiful film.
So how weird is it when Billy shows up at your house with cameras rolling, just recording everything? I mean, he showed up to the studio today, and he's been in here a few times, and when he walks in the door, he's rolling. I mean, he's capturing everything, stuff that, you know, you really don't, is not real entertaining. How is it to have him follow you around with a camera going the whole time?
Because I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, Billy, come on. We've got boundaries here.
There's walls. I need walls.
Okay. There you go. Okay,
yeah, Meg. Yeah, I'll go. I mean, it's a little weird, you know, but I got to say that, you know, that's probably the best way to kind of capture the real, you know, the real you, the real, you know, experience. And, you know, Billy does such a great job of capturing the moments that kind of tell your story. But yeah, it's definitely not a natural thing when someone is following you with a camera.
Yeah, Devin.
I mean, I, as you guys ascertained through the film, was in another documentary way back when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So for me, it wasn't actually that weird because, I mean, at that time I was, that filmmaker was basically at every practice, every, like, in the locker room, videotaping everything. And it was like, ended up being 6 years. So like, I think I got desensitized to having somebody around and being on camera. So it didn't really, you know, I was just like, well,
yeah.
Life in a day. Yeah. I was going to ask, is there a blooper reel? Are there some things that he captured that you said, Billy, off limits?
Ooh.
He didn't give us the opportunity to say.
You didn't sign that waiver.
Is there a blooper reel, Billy Yang?
Oh, there's always a blooper reel, yeah. Okay. It could have easily been a comedy.
You know, I've seen all of Billy's films. This one in particular, I really enjoyed because it was quite a story. It was a story of people and experiences and emotions, and you don't have to be a runner to enjoy that film. You can walk in and walk out with something tangible, something you take with you. And so many films are, if you're not a runner, then maybe it wasn't interesting, but this has substance. It's a true story. It just happened to be around running. So It's a film that I would love to show my daughters or mm-hmm. or anybody that's just interested in life and great stories. So well done, Billy Yang.
Well, thank you. Credit goes to the ladies too. I mean, it doesn't happen without, you know, we were joking around, but if they don't both literally and figuratively, like, let me into their homes and open up, there isn't much of a story there. So, you know, it really, I can't tell you how many times I was editing and just like in tears in some of the moments or like just wanting to like call them and hug them, which I'm sure they would have been really weirded out by, but
no.
But it really, I mean, there's a lot of power in vulnerability, and I'm getting to know that the older I get, that there's almost an envy when somebody, on my part, when somebody can be so expressive and be open and be like, this is what's going on in my world at the, you know, in this moment.
So go ahead, Scott.
No, I was going to throw it over to you and explain how we're going to talk about this film. We decided it was an idea I had earlier this afternoon of how we were going to talk about this.
So let me explain that. So I call Scott and I say, Scott, what are we going to do with today's podcast? And I threw out an idea and he has adopted it as his idea. Which
well,
is fine,
I came
Scott.
Up I came up with some really quite good ideas.
Yeah.
And a couple times I felt that Don hung up on me.
No, I didn't. I just
he was just put me on mute because he was screaming because there were such bad ideas.
So we thought we'd ask each one of these ladies to come up with a word that would help describe their experience at 2016 Western States, whether it is the training, whether it was the race day itself, whether it was post-race, whether it was just everything combined. And we don't know their words. They know their word. And so in Trail Runner Nation fashion, what we're going to do is ask them to submit their word. The rest of us are going to make comments about their word, and then they will come in and have the final say, and they'll talk about their word. And we're not all obligated to say something. We'll say something as we're inspired to say it. But I'm interested in these three runners, these three ladies, these three champions' words of what their experience is for Western States 2016. And I think these words, and this is my forecast, this is what I think is going to happen, they're going to mean
something. Your hypothesis?
It's going to mean something different to each one of us. And it may apply to our life. It may apply to a relationship. It may apply to racing ourselves. Or it may just apply to goals and aspirations we have in the future. I don't know. But that's what this podcast is about. Let's come up with some words and then discuss them and let the originator of the word then have the final say. Did I explain that okay, Scott?
I thought you did a great job.
Okay, I'll have to rewind that and listen myself, see if I understand it. Who should we start with, Billy Yang? This is your film, Your Life in a Day. Who is our first word coming from? Because we don't know the word.
Do you all have a word, right?
Sure.
Did Billy prep you with this word? Because we did ask him to do that.
I thought yes. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Magda seems the most ready for whatever reason. Let's start with Magda.
I look ready. I'm always ready.
Yeah. She's leaning forward. What's your word, Magda?
So my word is heartbreaking.
Ooh, heartbreaking. Ooh. Anybody want to start with that? We don't know the word heartbreaking.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll just throw that. I'll throw a comment out there. Heartbreaking. How heartbreaking might apply to me? And well, we have aspirations, we have goals, and those goals aren't easily obtained all the time. And no one sets a B goal or a C goal or a D goal. No one does. We always set our A goal. And A goal is something if everything turns out perfect, but we can't beat up on ourselves if we don't reach A. It's okay. So I think we need to be compassionate enough with ourselves to allow B to be okay. So I think that's what that word means to me.
You know, the first thing that popped in my mind was the way I got into this running thing was I had on my bucket list, I wanted to run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 weeks prior to that marathon running date, I had trained my butt off. 3 weeks prior, I sprained my ankle really, really bad water skiing. And my whole idea was to run a marathon and be done with running because I didn't like running. And that was heartbreak for me to say, you know, I've been training this hard from couch potato to trying to run a marathon. And all of a sudden, it's just shattered. I can't even walk yet run. So right. that's that's the first thing that came to my mind when Heartbreaking came up.
Heartbreak, good. Ladies, anybody else? Anna Mae? Devin?
Billy? My word is...
No, we're not ready for your word. We're still talking about Heartbreak. I'm sorry, I didn't advance all the rules of this game.
Don makes up rules as we go, too, yeah. So be careful of
well,
that.
Well, I Billy mean, Yang. It's pretty much on the nose.
Yeah.
Because I know what happens, and I think several people know what happened, is that much like, again, to go back to the title of the film, Life in a Day, you know, as life itself, there are a lot of aspects of our lives that are just unpredictable. And you can, I think when athletes of these calibers or any athletes dedicate so much energy, time, effort into training for something and to have the end result be the way the end result, and it's not at all what you envisioned during all those hours when you're pouring sweat and climbing mountains and descending mountains, that it's perfectly understandable why it would break your heart.
Well, can I just say one more thing? Going back to the theme of life in a day, you know, heartbreaking can be devastating. Mm-hmm. But when you think of it in the full realm of life, it's a snapshot. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't, you're not labeled by that experience. It makes you stronger so that you can be more successful in multiple other facets. So I think that's important to know.
Yeah, and I also think about it when I reflect back on my personal life, and I'm sure all the rest of you guys can relate to this. When you have these moments in your life, in the moment, it feels like a massive heartbreak. But when you reflect back on it, you were like, oh, well, that was clearly a stepping stone to becoming the person I am today. So that's how I'll flip it to a more positive angle. But Magda, maybe you can speak on it a little bit more.
Before we get to Magda, Devin or Anna Mae, do you have comments on Heartbreaking? And if not, we'll go right to Magda. Okay, Devin.
Well, I think in this context, I can have a lot of empathy for that word coming from Magda, given that I've had my own DNF at Western States. Mm-hmm. And just like knowing what everything is wrapped up in that, getting to that start line and everything that you hope and dream to accomplish on that day, like what that feeling is, and to kind of have it torn away from you and not like you have, it's outside of your control. You have no choice to make that decision, but it hurts in a way that heartbreaking is it. You might get something out of it, but at that moment, it's just like, it crushes you.
Mm. Hey, Devin, if you can briefly talk about that time previously when you ran Western States, when was it and what happened?
2010. It was my second time getting into the race, first time running it, because I also got in the fire year. So I had a lot pent up in that race. I ended up dropping at Michigan Bluff with kidney failure. I went into that race like having been sick a week before, and I really didn't have a lot of experience with heat and things like that. And I didn't understand how to run 100 miles. And so I made like just every mistake under the sun, and I ended up in the chair in Michigan Bluff, and they're like, sorry, we're not going to let you keep going. And, you know, it's like, you know, now I realize there was a lot of things I could have done maybe to not get to that place, but ultimately I didn't have the experience to like not get myself to that point where it was too late, basically.
Can I?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Anna Mae. Okay.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the reasons why that I even decided to race Western States, because it wasn't on my radar and wasn't a goal beginning the season. I was planning on doing some sky races, and I wanted to run Lake Sonoma purely just to finish a 50 miler, because previous to that, I wanted to run a 50 miler, but previous to that, after you point,
You can just pick it up from there.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll do the painstaking editing thanks to my partner Scott Warr, who's been on 300 podcasts.
I blew it.
Who helps me so much. Go ahead, anime. And previous to that.
So I wanted to run a 50 miler, but previous to that, I wanted to. My goal was to do some sky races in Europe. And I'm more of a, I like to run uphill. I like running vert. And so usually my mileage is pretty low, somewhere around 50 to 60 miles a week. And then about 10 hours of, you know, on your foot time or foot time. I don't know how you say that. But and so it was just kind of like a last minute call to just jump into the 50 miler. And then when I realized that I had gotten a golden ticket, because like when I finished, I was literally just happy that I finished. Like that was it. I was like just completely ecstatic and proud of myself that I had gone that far, because I remember getting to the turnaround point. And you know that, I mean, all of you, I mean, you ladies have completed a 100 miler and you've all been through that journey where you've done a 50K and then you're like, I don't know if I can go further than a 50K. And then you start to like count the miles. At least in my mind, I was like 40, 41, 42. And I was like, okay, just keep it together. You got it. You got it. When I crossed the finish line, I was just like, yeah. And I had so much more energy than I thought that I had, because I was just like, just trying to keep it together. Like, I think I can do this. And so then all of a sudden people were like, oh, golden ticket, congratulations. And I hadn't really registered what golden ticket meant, because I, to be honest, like haven't really, I didn't really know that much about Western States and about the ultra running community, because I'm really new to the whole scene. And so, but then afterwards I talked to Casey a little bit, and she just has this like sweet, honest, like, so down to earth, just way of talking to you. So that, like, I basically made the decision from going, no, I don't want to race 100 mile. I'm never going to race 100 mile. Like, no way. To like 5 minutes later, like, maybe I'll consider it, because Casey says that I can do it. She's like, yeah, it's such a fun time running on the trail with girls, and you can totally do it. It'd be so fun. And I'm like, yeah, like maybe, I've got a month, sure.
And two weeks of it is a taper. Just keep that in mind.
I'm like, just got into my peak training, or like right into my build. And so for me, I guess to wrap back around to heartbreak, the whole reason why that I even started to get into ultra running this past spring was because I had a lot of heartbreaks in my life. I was engaged and had a heartbreak there, no longer in that committed relationship. I worked for a charter school in Squaw that ended up closing because of lack of funding all at the same time. Plus some other personal issues that just kind of all coincided at the right time to where I just said, screw it, I'm just going to run. Like, the only way that I can handle my life right now is to work 8 to 3, enjoy my kiddos, have a great time, you know, with the life that I have and I'm given. And even though there's some hardships occurring, and I basically, the analogy is like a painting that was just like so full and rich with color and vibrant and landscape just like slowly started getting smeared, and my easel became blank. And so Western States for me was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna like recreate my life, and this is a good opportunity for me, even though all these heartbreaks are occurring all around me. Like, I can put one foot in front of the other, and I'm strong. I'm a strong woman.
You know, I think what you're saying is beautiful. It actually can turn into a rebuild, a recreation, a reset switch, if you will. Don's favorite phrase is a control alt delete. It gives you the opportunity to reinvent. So it's not all bad. It may seem bad in the moment, but you learn from it.
Magna.
Yeah, and I also had a DNF at Western States, and just developed tendonitis over my buildup. I had never run over 80 miles a week in my life, and I was running like 90, 100 mile weeks for 2 weeks, and it was totally naive of me, and my calves were really tight, and I just kind of expected I'm going to feel whatever it feels like to train for 100 miles, and it's going to be hard on my body, and I'm just going to push through it.
You know, Anime, I love those comments. I love the fact that you can take hardships in life and you can place them on the trail and you can run through them and run past them. And, you know, the trail...
And almost take you to that new level. You would have never considered going to that next level if some of these heartbreaks didn't happen.
The trail has its reasons. You know, for some, it's just to enjoy some social, but for some, it's to work through some things. And, and I love the trail for that. Heartbreak. Heartbreak's the word. It is your word, Magna. Why did you choose the word heartbreak?
So heartbreaking is definitely a word that I choose for my 2016 Western States experience. If you watch the movie, it was definitely a tough day for me, a day that I was not prepared for. It definitely didn't have a DNF in mind leading up to the race. And, you know, waking up a week before the race with a fever and being sick for a few days was something that I didn't plan for. And I never really changed my game and my plan for the race, despite being sick. Just started the race and struggled. I struggled, even on the first climb, getting to the top of the first climb. So my race, was something that, you know, just crushed my heart. It's something that hurt really, really bad when that bracelet was cut off at the aid station from me. And I felt like I just didn't know how to deal with it, you know, and there were races in the past where, you know, when things got hard, I knew how to respond. I knew how to reset. And this was very foreign to me. It was a humbling experience. I was not very rational at that moment. Rational me would have said, you know, this is going just to make you stronger. This is going to be, you know, just, it's an experience that you're going to come out of and you are going to be better for it. But in that moment, you know, in the middle of the race, that's not how you think, you know, the world is coming down and crashing and you want something so bad, something that, you know, you've been preparing for months. And I certainly put, you know, all of the eggs into one basket and, you know, I just really wanted to reach that finish line. And suddenly that's being taken away from you. And it was truly an experience that, you know, I'm now grateful for. I definitely came out of it stronger and with a new perspective on you know, what it means to, you know, drop out of a 100-mile race, which is very different than dropping out of a 5K or a 10K. You know, you have another chance the next month. You have another chance, you know, a week later. But when you want something so bad and it doesn't happen, but there is a different recovery from it. So it was a heartbreaking experience, but I'm glad I actually had an opportunity to, you know, to live it.
Magna, I think there's a lot of people that are listening to this podcast that have gone through a similar situation. And there's probably some that are listening to this podcast that have not. So you hit this heartbreak, and how do you get past it? How do you, what are we now? 8 months past Western States 2016, and you have a perspective that says, I'm glad that I had that experience. What do you do day one after a heartbreak like that? How do you overcome it?
Well, you know, I think I was still on a couch kind of following the race and following Devin and Casey and Anna May, you know, right after the race. And, you know, part of me just was really, you know, really excited for, you know, for what was happening, you know, in the race for them. And, you know, you're kind of, when you're spectating, you are kind of living the race. And once that was over, you know, it was time for me to, you know, just to take care of my body. And you know, I don't like to dwell on experiences like this for too long. I love running too much to let this, you know, this, or an experience like this, to take it away from the enjoyment that I get from running. So I have a rule. I have a rule where I just let myself kind of mope around for a while. And, you know, I do have my own, you know, not that I feel sorry for myself, but I need to get that, you know, just this, you know, this satisfaction with how things went. And, you know, life is unfair and you kind of have to deal with it and you got to get up and you got to move on. And, so I usually give myself a day or two and that's my max. And I need to, you know, I need to get up and say, you know, I am going to press the reset button and I'm going to start really slowly, but I'm going to find joy in getting out. And you love this too much to, you know, to destroy you for too long. So, it's just, you know, I've been racing for over 20 years. I've had other races that obviously, you know, I dropped out of for many other reasons. And it never gets easier. You know, you still go through the same process. You put so much emphasis on the goal, and you drive so hard to reach that goal. And when a race means so much to you, it's going to be disappointing, and there is no way to get around it. But I think that giving yourself or having a rule how to, you know, how to deal with it, and when it's time to move on, you move on, and you basically put another goal. So for me, it's like put another goal on the calendar. You know, you jump back into it and try to, you know, try to keep moving forward, because that is what life is about. You know, we can't live, you know, in the past. We can't live with, you know, with this cloud over our head that something didn't go as well as you wanted to, and now, you know, now you live in misery.
If I were Tony Robbins and I was writing a self-help book after interviewing Magda, I would say heartbreak, how to overcome heartbreak. And this is my summary. These are my bullet points. This is the recipe for overcoming heartbreak. Don't dwell on it. Step two is get enjoyment or take enjoyment out of the success of others. Step three is to take joy in the basics and get back to the basics and taking care of yourself. And the fourth one is set another goal. That's what Tony Robbins would write.
Well, that's what Magda just said. So the heck with Tony Robbins. It's Magda that I'm following. Magda, keeping things in perspective, and Devin, your word is next, okay? Let's not lose sight of what we're doing. Magda, you won in 2015. So my question to you is, you know, what were your thoughts as you came away from that day? Which day?
The 15?
Which day? Or 15 or 16?
No, the 16.
Mm-hmm.
No, coming away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to edit that because I don't even know my thought. I had the question.
Sorry,
no,
I didn't mean to derail you.
But I should have written it down. I'll edit that out. Devin.
Yes.
Here we go. I do edit sometimes, especially when I lose. I had the perfect question too.
I'm sorry.
No, not your fault, Scott.
No,
it's me.
Don't worry.
I'm short on that. I'm very impressed with your from 2016, 15 to 16. Devin.
Yes.
What's your word?
Journey.
Journey. Not the rock and roll band.
Oh,
Journey.
Dang it. That's where I was going.
Okay.
The city by the bay,
the
man.
City by the bay. Who wants to pick up on Journey? As Devin will take us home with it, but who wants to talk about Journey as it relates to running, ultra running, or life? Anna May?
Anna May had her hand up.
Sure. So, like I had kind of said before, is that when whenever life gets tough and you kind of have to press that restart button and say, okay, I'm going to give myself a break, I'm going to restart, and that to me, that's a journey, is that there's always going to be hardships, there's always going to be things that you have, there's always going to be goals that you're aiming for, striving for, and you hope in the deepest part of your heart and the deepest part of who you are that you're going to achieve that goal. But sometimes it doesn't work immediately, or doesn't happen immediately, like that instant gratification of getting a text message or like a, I don't know, just instant, like these days it's like instant gratification, everything. And I think with ultra running, really mimics an ultra running and the race, like a 100-mile race to me, feels like the journey of life, like the hardships that you go through, the highs and the lows, the goals that you either achieve or you don't achieve, and then being able to move past it and like look towards the future and say, if I didn't meet my goal in this moment now present, what can I do to achieve that goal in the future, and then just continually moving forward. And so I can't imagine, you know, Casey, for example, who won Western States, and then it's like, you know, is she going to stop there? No, she's got more goals, you know? So I think no matter where you're at, whether you're in a 100-mile race to finish and that's your goal, or your goal is to win it or to place top 10 or whatever your goal is, it's a journey. I don't know. I had a lot there.
No, but that's good. That's good. And anybody else for journey? Billy Yang?
Well, I think the journey always gives you a perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's a reason why people who win the lottery either go bankrupt or go back to being, you know, if they were miserable previously, they go back to being miserable. You need the journey to have the full breadth and the full appreciation for wherever you end up.
Mm. Yeah, I think journey, you're right, Billy. I like that. I think we can, whether we come in first, middle, or you know, we're the magic hour at the end, and we come in just and break the 30-hour mark, it doesn't matter. I mean, that is the journey, and it is life-changing. And I know that on my final breath, I'm going to be thinking about some of those running accomplishments, because to me, they're that important. You know, they were that ominous that I was just fearful of what could happen to me. And I took the challenge on, and with help of others around me, you know, it was accomplished. And it wasn't accomplished because of me, just the teamwork of others. And it's the group of people that were wearing bibs. It's the people at the aid stations. That's a proud moment. And that was a journey. And so as I look back on life, what a precious, precious opportunity to be an ultra runner. Love, love, love it. And so journey. Yes, Devin, journey. Absolutely. 100%. Love that word. Okay. Anybody else on journey?
You know, the only thing I was going to say is a journey, you know, to
you
me.
You wanted the rock and roll band.
Is it is one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
But a journey has a beginning, has a middle, and it has an end.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you may think that the journey is going to start at a specific place and end at a specific place, and you have a view of what that middle is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually go through it, it may be completely different than what you thought.
A lot of mystery in the journey, right?
Yeah, but it does have an end. It has a middle, and it has a beginning.
And the end could be anywhere. It could be the finish line, or it could be in the middle of the race. It doesn't matter. There's an end.
And most importantly,
yeah,
you're not going to have a journey if you don't start it.
Right. Anybody else on journey? Or Devin, are you going to tell us about what journey means to you? Oh, wait. Magnus got a journey comment. Yes.
Well, journey doesn't have a destination, right? That's what life is about. It's about just creating the story so we can have an awesome journey. And I think each race just contributes to that journey of life. No matter how the race goes, no matter how, you know, what happens every day, it's just a collection of experiences that contributes to an awesome journey.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Devin, let me say this before you tell us about journey. Watching that film, I have a great appreciation for you. You are an amazing athlete, an amazing person. And if you haven't seen the film, do watch it, because you will become a fan of Devin Yanko too, because she's a great athlete, as the rest of them are here on this podcast. Devin, what in the heck did you pick Journey for?
It's actually interesting to come after Magda's word of heartbreak, because the journey for me probably did start in a lot of ways with my own DNF at Western States. Because after that, I had zero desire to come back to Western States. I was like, nope, I'm good. I don't need to run. I don't like 100 milers. I don't like 100 miler. This is dumb. I don't really like, I was here. I had done that race because I was very young and bought into like, you're not a real ultra runner unless you've done 100 mile business. And I wasn't really there with what I wanted to do. Like, I like other things, and I just, it wasn't my jam, but I did it anyways and had this terrible experience. So for me, I just said, someday, right? Someday I will come back. Western States will come into my mind and I will be like, I am ready. I am ready and to do everything it takes to get to that finish line. And I never really had that feeling for 5 years. Like I would go and crew it and I'd be like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not running this. Like, every time, I'm not even gonna crew this next year. You know, I didn't have that desire. And that's how I run. I run on passion, as we all know, and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's not evident. So when I ran Javelina in, October of 2015 and had a different experience with running 100 miles. I realized that I had finally built the skills for myself that made me curious to go back to Western States. And so the journey began with like wanting to do it. And then the next stage was trying to get my spot and battling through a lot of self-doubt as Billy filmed again and witnessed, you know, when I was at Sean O'Brien. And for me, getting to Western States, like I had done it for the wrong reasons the first time. And I wanted to be on the line at Western States this past year and just really just be present with that moment and just like 100% there, because like I am ready. Like when I stood on that line, it wasn't like I'm ready to kick some butt. It was like I am ready for the journey ahead, which it encompasses all of those things in life. And as you saw, like I got a hell of a journey out of it. So, you know, and it even did continue after that finish line where, yes, I have that kind of like cue the music. I successfully like rounded out the story. But even for me, the journey continued actually from Billy telling the story and sharing my story. I actually was able to gain some further insight into kind of like my own self and my own understanding, and actually like, again, learn something that I can take forward with me. So it's like, as Magda said, like there is no destination. And I feel like that was kind of a really cool part where you would think like a successful finish would have been the end of that journey. But even just continuing to learn something after the fact by seeing the experience reflected back to me by somebody else, that was really amazing.
You said journey, and I've been thinking all along about journey from the starting gun to the, you know, finish line, but you just spoke about journey as in part of life's journey, that this is just a component of that journey. And so I like the way that you broadened the race into a component of life experience. So I think that's a good perspective. I failed to witness that. Billy?
I have a question. Devin, you were talking about seeing it reflected back to you. Maybe there's a question I can ask all of you guys, but Devin in particular, what exactly did you take away from that?
The journey itself, Billy?
Gaining perspective after seeing it.
The perspective of seeing it, like, it's kind of like this moment. It's very hard to. So the moment where I'm sitting in the chair and like Billy and Craig are trying to reflect to me my own resiliency and like, you know, they're telling me that I can do this, right? And then I got up and I did it. But then after the fact, like seeing it,
in that moment, it's like I learned like that I could actually see myself be resilient, right? So even though I was resilient in that moment, like actually observing myself be resilient and see myself how that is like as a like a out of body experience, mm-hmm. it was like I actually for the first time probably felt like that is something that I can actually see about myself in a way that I couldn't, right? Like I needed two people to sit there and be like, you're fine. This is your jam. You love doing this. You do it every time. Like, you're going to be great. So it was that. And also just there were components of like how, Billy, you told my story, you know, all of the stuff with basketball and how you tied up that from like an outsider's perspective where I just saw some kind of, I saw it from a different perspective in the way that they relate. And so that was just really valuable for me.
Well, you talked about the healing components and the value of running, right? And how you came back from what you experienced and how you found, I guess therapy for lack of a better word, but it's deeper than that. And, in all the ways that you became who you are, as a result of using running as a vehicle to evolve and further yourself, I thought was really, it was really touching.
Thank you.
So I just want to just do a quick round robin, round the table. Who has Journey on their playlist, on their running playlist? Do ultra runners, are they required to have some Journey on their playlist?
I don't have Journey on my playlist.
Don't Stop Believing, right, Anna?
I do, right.
Okay.
I love Journey.
Okay. Where are we? We're on...
I think it's...
Anime, I think it's your word. What's your word, Anime?
My word is community.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right.
Who wants to start it off?
Anime has to remain silent while we talk about her word. Devin, have at it.
Devin is waving her hands. So
well, that's because I need to go to bed, but also because I love that word.
and let's pause. Let's explain. You need to get to bed because you have a race coming up, and we need to...
Yes, I'm racing on Sunday.
And we need to make sure that we take care of our body and don't sabotage ourselves. She's setting a good example for us to not compromise.
Time out. You have a race on Sunday and you're getting up for a morning run at 4?
No, I'm getting up to get on the airplane to fly across the country.
Oh, you're flying.
And you're hanging out with us, Devin. You are awesome. Thank you.
You'll be blessed.
Okay. Give us your input and then we'll excuse you to get some good rest. Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about you.
That's fine. Community is actually like why I'm an ultra runner. I came to ultra running very early on in my endurance career, and I signed up. I'd done 3 marathons. I signed up for a triathlon and an ultra. And I was like, I didn't want to get obsessed with time goals because I had no idea what I was doing. And I ran the Headlands 50K when it was the national championship. And I had no idea what I was doing. And all I knew I could walk uphill and eat whatever I wanted at aid stations.
Yeah.
And
that's all I know.
Still all I know.
Yeah.
But when I crossed the finish line, like I was like a dumb dog out there, like tongue wagging, just having a good old time, didn't know what I was doing, didn't care. And when I crossed the finish line, Connie Gardner and Nikki Kimball came straight up to me and they're like, who are you? You should come be on the 100K team. Come over here. We're going to introduce you to everybody. And I was like, this is not how I've ever experienced like a marathon, you know, like it was just like this instant, like what I had been looking for with running, because I came from team sports background in which you always had people. Uh-huh. And it's from the, like literally from the finish line of my first race, like the community just welcomed me in and has always been a very strong driver of my, like, for being an ultra running to me. It's just the people and the way that we connect where it's, yes, we can be competitive, but we're still about everybody who is undergoing this task of, you know, going these crazy distances.
Wow, you just mentioned that, you know, thinking about ultra running being an individual sport, but no, it is a team sport on the largest scale. Yeah. How cool. Yeah, great comment.
And it's an organic experience.
Yeah.
It's not something, when you play basketball, you're thrown together by somebody else, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're running an ultra, if it's your first ultra, you may not know anybody at the starting line, but by the time you hit the finish line,
you have teammates. Yeah. Magda, you have a comment, and Devin, you can't go yet because I have a final question that I'm going to ask everybody that we're going to get an answer from you before you go. Magda.
Oh, this is such a great question, and or it's such a great word because, you know, just to tie it all back to the race, you know, I saw the race for the first time when Billy was showing it in Marin at Equator Coffee with SFRC, and you know I was crying when Devin was asking, you know, how I was doing. I thought that just like took that like community of ultra running to the next level for me. I mean, I knew that I was part of something special, but you know, that really broke my heart. You know, there's someone else in the race that they're fighting their own evil. They're trying to, you know, to get through, you know, through their own obstacles and adversity. And she's out there, you know, asking how I was doing, if, you know, and that really kind of, you know, I broke down. But we all know that it takes a village to complete an ultra, and we have people in our lives that, you know, that they're stick with us, you know, through all the, you know, hardship. And and again, it's like going back to life, you know. It's that's kind of what an ultra is.
Good stuff. Devin, I want to ask you this question, the same question I'm going to ask to Anna Mae and to Magda before they go. So kind of tipping you two off, what was your impression of Billy Yang's film? So you were there participating, being a subject, but when it first went up on the screen and you watched it, what did you think? What was the takeaway?
I thought it was amazing. I was also very, it was really hard. It's really hard. Well, I've seen it twice.
Uh-huh.
We did two screenings, but both times it was like this experience of like, I'm crying on the screen. I'm crying in real life. Like I just, it's very beautiful what he did. And like, it's really like, especially like I just watched it in the early January when I was in Ohio. And, you know, I've been injured for a little while, and like to have that moment of like, hey, that's me. Like I did that, to have that experience. Like the way that he captured it is just like, it means so much, not to just have done that, but to like be able to go back to that experience in that way that is just like, it really does capture everything that race is about.
Mm. Billy, why don't you send her off the podcast and welcome her, and let her know to have a great race.
It was an absolute pleasure working with Devin, and you know, she's. I'm glad. I mean, we were kind of friends before. I'm glad we got to know each other better through the process and become better friends. And you know, just how everything you are, from, again, just from being how vulnerable you are, opening your story for others to hopefully benefit down the line. I think it's going to mean a lot. It meant a lot to me, and for me personally, it was just amazing to see you at your lowest point, to see you on that track, circling Auburn with Chrissy Mayle, and that beautiful big smile that you can only have when you've had that journey, right? When you are at the tail end of that journey and everything it encompassed, that smile was like everything. So thank you.
I felt I got a chance to know these ladies by watching the film, and I already feel like I have an attachment or relationship to them, even though they don't even know who I am. But Billy, how about you? Did you feel as you were filming them and then editing and putting it together that there was a deeper relationship that formed because of your time that you spent working with them?
Yeah.
That was different and unique?
Well, it was a different relationship in that they had no idea, like, the footage I was seeing and the interviews I was listening to. So it was sort of one-sided in that regard. But, you know, I think I messaged you, Anime, and maybe to you too, Devin, how I'm like, I just want to give you a big hug right now. And you probably have no idea why. But, you know, it's amazing how much they allowed me and you know, next Wednesday on March 8th, the rest of the world to into their lives. And I think a film like this can only work when the athletes are willing to do that. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an elite hoping to podium or top 10 at Western States. You know, if you're finishing 29-59-59 at Western States, like, they, I think anybody can see the realness. And, you know, when Magda's talking about, like, getting to the finish line would be a great day today.
Yeah.
You know, she's not saying that from the perspective of an elite who had won the previous year. She's saying that, she genuinely meant that.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's value in getting to the finish line, no matter what kind of day you're having. So, I just thank all of these guys, and Casey too, who wasn't able to join us.
Devin, it's time for you. You're going to need some sleep. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
She did a mic drop. Let's get you on in the near future. We'd love to dig deeper into some of these topics.
All right, call me. You have my number now.
You got it. Thanks, Devin.
Thanks, Devin.
Bye, guys.
Right, fly safe. Have a fun. Have a fun journey.
I will.
Bye, bye.
Have fun.
See how I worked that into the conversation. Have a fun journey.
Yeah.
See how? You get it now.
I get it now.
Okay.
Commute.
No, I just wanted to ask Anime something because there was a very knowing, and it, you know, once you see the movie, you'll appreciate it. But there was a very knowing head nod when Devin was talking about her first DNF at Western States, and I just wanted to get from the perspective of Anime, like, what, how she related to Devin's story.
Well, for me, I think I'm just gonna tie this back to my word community.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that I chose that word and the significance of my DNF, basically going into the race, I didn't really know. I mean, I hear from ultra runners all the time is that you kind of work the kinks out sometimes and you just don't know unless you try. So, you know, I felt decent the day before, but, you know, I didn't know. And it was, there was no way to really test, am I ready to run 100 miles or not? So I just, when I went into the day, I was fully committed to do my best. And then once I had gotten to, say, before Devil's Thumb, but I think Devil's Thumb was that critical moment where I was, I probably spent about 2 hours walking and thinking to myself and going through all my life scenarios, highs and lows and everything, and had committed to dropping out for the best of my body, because I realized that, you know, the injury that I think was just, and like becoming an injury, was becoming worse and worse as the day went on, as it unfolded. And I didn't know what it was. And I think that was one of my, worries was about my body. So I was thinking about my body constantly over that span of time. But then when I got to the top of Devil's Thumb, the community at that aid station was just like overwhelmingly supporting me and urging me to continue on and giving me like so much encouragement and you got this and you can do it and just soldier on. This is a low point. You're going to work through it. And I just like didn't have it in me to tell them or to tell Billy or anyone. Like I literally can't. I was like, I cannot move on. And then everyone was like, you got it. You can do it. You can totally do it. And it was like this sudden urge of energy that was rushing and filling into the depths of me. And I was like, okay, like I know that there's people that are waiting for me at Forest Hill. Like, I can walk, like I can at least try. And it was just so painful for me to let down my community, living in Tahoe for the past 6-7 years. You know, there were so many familiar faces that I felt like, it wasn't a burden, but in a way I felt like I was letting down my friends, by DNFing. So I was like, you know what, I can go for the cutoff. And that was one thing that, you know, talking to Billy, he was like, you know, we had that heart to heart there on the trail, walking it out with him. And I would say it was the most humbling experience that I ever felt, but it was the most beautiful experience to be passed by one person after another, after another, after another. I mean, it was literally, I think I was passed by at least 100 people, or I don't know how many people were in the race, but it seemed like an endless amount of people. And so I was just constantly being like, I wouldn't say, it was just like kind of pounding into me, like, you are officially going for the cutoff. And I was like, this is going to be, I had to go through that. Like, okay, I'm not going for a 17 or 18 hour finish. I'm going for a 20 hour finish, or I'm going for the cutoff. And so I didn't know what was in store for me for the later part of the evening. Got my headlamp out, and but the community, I gotta say, like, the only reason why that I was pushing through the pain that I was feeling, and I've never been injured in my life. I've never had bone injuries. I've never had muscle injuries. I've never had any kind of injury. So this was totally new to me. And so the fact that my body felt good, like my energy was good, I was totally nourished. My electrolytes were good. I wasn't dehydrated. I felt great. I think I was in the most shape, or the best shape that I've ever been in my entire life. Felt phenomenal. But just feeling the literal pain of just feeling like daggers into my calf and into my shin and later into my foot. It just was pretty unbearable, but I was like, I can do this. I can just keep walking. I always just put one foot in front of the other. So again, the community was unreal. I think some of the footage that I, when I was able to see the passion and the enthusiasm on some of those people's faces in that board, or the Devil's Thumb aid station, it brought all of that back, where I was like, I literally been like, I think I walked another 25 miles after Devil's Thumb, knowing that every step could possibly be my last, or like, I don't know, I was going totally into the unknown. And it was the most dramatic, most moving, inspirational journey, that heartbreak that I have ever been through. It was phenomenal, and I wouldn't take it back for a minute. I think I finished, my finish line was Cal 2. And I couldn't make it to Cal 2. So I was actually, and there was no footage at this point, but I was actually carried down the trail to Cal 2 station. I could not walk any further. I ended up just passing out on one of the chairs there, and I saw the whole, I could hear cutoff remarks, like people coming through and literally being like, how much time, you know, how much ahead am I of the cutoff? And I'm like hearing this, like, as I'm laying there in this cot with my leg throbbing, and just also like really yearning to be able to move forward with this community. That's like this whole effort of like this monumental urge to make that cutoff. And so again, humbling, most humbling experience, and also very grateful for my health, and will never take that for granted. And totally am inspired by Magda and Casey and Devin and everyone who completed and even started Western States, and just being able to, be a part of this larger ultra running community, has really turned my life around and has really solidified me as a person. So there's a lot there, but
you know, when we talk about community, I think a lot of times we like to label ourselves as tough. We can work through anything. It's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to be miserable. But in fact, it's not always smart to push through that very, very difficult and knife-like pain that might be in your calf or your Achilles tendon. There are times that maybe toughness is being brave enough to start
and not always dumb enough to finish. That we really need to keep in perspective as a community that toughness is at the start line, not always at the finish line. Scott.
Well, and another part of the community, and hopefully, Anna May, you saw this too, is you have this community that's encouraging you and pushing you and helping you. But when it does come to that point that if you have to pull the plug and give yourself a DNF, or you don't hit your A goal, or you don't hit your B goal, or you don't hit your C goal, the community does not judge.
Ooh,
they're there to put their arms around you and say, hey, you're still part of us.
Yeah.
You're still part of our team. Let's get out and let's go for a training run on Monday.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I just want to interject one last time. I don't see my DNF at all as a failure, because there was a moment when I got to Forest Hill and I picked up my pacer, Chris Cloyd, and I told him in that moment when we were walking away and everybody's cheering and so excited and have no idea what I'm going through. And we had, you know, a good hour to chat. And I told him, I said, Chris, this is no longer a competitive race, because there was all this talk about, you know, so-and-so is not doing well up in the front and people are dropping out and you can totally possibly slip in with a top 10 finish if you just go for it. And I told him, I said, there's none of that. Like, this is, we are walking. This is a long journey. We are walking from here to the finish line if I make it. And that, you know, once it got to be unbearable, I told him, I was like, my finish line is coming. I don't know exactly when, but it's any step now. And it was just, you know, just like really emotional, but it was a very amazing moment to say, to like, this is my finish line. And like, I literally drew with my finger, like a little line across the trail, and then was like, crossed it, and then was like, you know, broke down. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is it for me. And then it took him, you know, cause he's fresh and wanting to be competitive and push me and being a good pacer and not knowing what I'd gone through really. And was trying to push me through it. So he kept trying to like walk with me and help me. And then one of my buddies, Chaz Shea, who is the RD for Canyons, he was in Western States and we've been really good friends. And I would say he was one of the reasons why I've kind of been competitive in ultra running, and he's kind of supported me along my journey. And it was amazing because right at that moment, of all people, here comes Chaz and Pete Broomhall, which is also one of my buddies who's helps with RD for Canyons. They come down the trail laughing and hollering and, you know, having a great time. And then here I am just like sitting on the trail, and I would show you, but I was like literally like this, just like so done. And and then Chaz stopped and he's like, anime. And he has this joy and he's just like, I'm so happy to see you. And we had just had this moment, this bonding together, that we had both made it to that, you know, 75 or 80 mile mark together. And then, then the pacers are having a conversation like, oh, how do we help Anime continue forward? We can help her. And then there was this moment where I just like looked at Chaz in the eyes and I was like, Chaz, this is my finish line. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And he's like, yes. And he had this like, all of a sudden he had this kind of sulking feeling where he like felt me, like he understood where I was coming from. And right there, like that community, that Tahoe community that I'm completely surrounded with, like they, you know, Chaz continued on, left his pacer Pete with me. Both him and Chaz, or Pete and my pacer Chris, kind of were like my crutches and like walked me down, because it's kind of like this steep ravine going into Cal 2. Sorry, I'm talking for a long time, but yeah, it was just an incredible, monumental experience for me personally. So
that's amazing. So Chaz's pacer left him to help carry you down
to help
too.
Me. Yeah. Wow. And so then Chaz continued on. And I mean, just that sense of community, that's what I mean, where it was like, he looked at Pete and said, Anime needs you. Like, she really needs you right now. I'm going to go on. And if we meet up or if you find me along the way, great. If not, so he like gave up his support in order to help me. And then it ended up where they're helping me down the trail. And then when Chaz got to Cal 2, he told them and they came up with like a little lift thing and put me in it. I just felt so like I felt completely reliant on my community at that point. Like, I think it was a good 4 mile hike where they had to carry me. It was just totally humbling and, not what I expected at all.
You'll always be surprised at the generosity of the trail running community. Magna, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I had stumbled on my question earlier, and I am not editing anything out. I mean, I forgot like I was a guy walking through not knowing what I was talking about, but I remember. You said in a comment that you were happy and grateful for the DNF, and I want to know how you are happy and grateful for that experience.
Well, I think that, again, this is... it's an experience that provided a very different perspective for me. You know, I walked away in 2015, crossing the finish line, and when you win a race, you don't realize how grateful sometimes you should be for an experience of winning a race. I mean, they're not predictable. And you can be as prepared as you can be. You can be in the best shape of your life, but in an ultra 100 mile race, that sometimes doesn't matter. And I think that I went from being on top of the world to just getting on the very bottom. And I think I needed that to realize, how special my 2015 was. Mm-hmm. Because, I didn't know that in 2015, but I thought it was just another race. Yeah, great. I won a race, and I know it's special. I know Western States was a very, very special race, and, definitely was honored to win the race, but when something is again taken away from you, you have a very different perspective. And I would have never had that. And we always talk about, being knocked down and getting back up. And but there is something about Western States when that happens at that race that it's just so much more grand. And we learn to be stronger. We were all given this life, this beautiful, beautiful life to go through obstacles and adversity and, the struggles. And we really come out stronger on the other end when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and go through that experience. So I will never look at a race the same way. I will never look at Western States the same way. I think Billy did such an amazing job just showing that raw life, what it's really about. And, you might be on top of the world one day and you will be coming down, crashing down the next day. And, you got to be ready and know how to deal with it. For me, I ended with Western States in 2016 with a struggle, but I know that I developed strength for tomorrow. So life goes on.
That's such a powerful comment and mm-hmm. such a wonderful perspective, because so many things that we've accomplished or have experienced in the past, we may not be able to appreciate fully until we experience something just the opposite. Mm-hmm. And some of those grand items like a win and a cougar that you took away from 2015, all of a sudden has a new look to it when you gaze upon your mantle and you see that cougar. If it wasn't for 2016, that cougar wouldn't be so grand. And so that's a great perspective. Thank you for that, Magna.
To come back to the great Ann Trason, I believe her first two races at Western States resulted in DNFs.
Yeah.
And then she went to crush it. It was either one or two. So I mean,
16 more times.
Yeah. I mean, 14 cougars. That's a lot of cougars.
All right, settle down, Freeman.
Sorry, I kicked the table. I was a little overwhelmed. That's a lot of cougars.
Was that your knee?
No, that was my foot. Okay. Well, I think we've gone through the words. Billy, do you have a word for this film that you would like to share with us?
You know, I came in with one word, but I'm going to say another, and just gratitude.
A different word or more words than one?
No, if you want my word, then I'll make it fairly succinct. It's just gratitude, and I'm going to actually explain it.
Yeah.
Instead of leaving it to you guys,
because you don't want to hear us
murder it.
Yeah.
Well, just tying everything together, and then you know, the last word being community, and then I just immediately thought about gratitude, and. Just how grateful I am that we have this little insular community, however niche it may be, that we have all these people and we're connected, you know, with these different stories that led us to this point. You know, I look at anime and Magda and what they went through, you know, anime more recently, and then Magda in the scope of her entire life coming here as an immigrant, not knowing a lick of English, working a drive-through at Taco Bell when she's 18, and then becoming an American citizen on 9/11, and became you know, ran as an American in Beijing in 2008 Olympics, and to the awesome ultra runner that she became today, traveling the world. So, I mean, what else but this little, you know, this little thing that we have in common, running in the mountains, can bring this awesome like diversity of like different stories together.
I had promised to ask this question, and what was your impression of the film? I should have asked that before your word, Billy. I'm sorry. My timing wasn't good, and I will not edit it. Anime, your impression of the film, your first time you saw it, and then followed up with you, Magda.
My first impression was, I guess, in one word, raw. There was no special effects or you know, any fancy editing. It was totally what each runner was going through, and from, you know, a background to the total how the race developed for each racer. And then also I loved that he included, you know, other athletes as well, and you know, and their perspective and what they were going through, and also included those really personal moments, those very emotional, raw moments. And I think that it just spoke for itself, you know, because at the finish line, you get, you know, when you interview an athlete, you might get, you know, two or three sentences or maybe a paragraph or so, but I think actually visually seeing it unfold is just monumental, and there are no words to describe what he has been able to capture.
Nice. Magna.
I think that there's just, it's, you know, if I again had to describe it, it's just so powerful. I think that individual stories are just so powerful when we tell them right. And I think Billy just did such an incredible job just bringing such a diverse group of, you know, human beings to this movie and like sharing the stories. And I feel very lucky to be a part of it, because there are probably, you know, hundreds of people in our community that could have been part of this movie and would have amazing stories. We all have them. We all have incredible stories, and just again grateful to be a part of it, and grateful to Billy for digging deep and really getting something out of us. Mm-hmm. Could have looked very different and very superficial, but that's not him.
Right.
In a day that we live in now, that everything is produced, it's sensationalized. Even the documentaries that are that we see now, they're staged almost, mm-hmm. and they're sensationalized, and they are skewed toward somebody's agenda. This movie and the stories that Billy tells are real. And that's, I think, one of the things that I really appreciate it. You know, Billy has a very keen way how to tell a story, but it's not sensationalized. He's not skewing it to his agenda or
a sponsor's agenda.
A sponsor's agenda. It's you know, to Anna May's word, raw.
Right.
It's real. And we all, if you didn't get to go to one of the screenings, we all get to enjoy this movie. How do we get to enjoy it and when?
It'll be released for public consumption on YouTube on March 8th, Wednesday.
Okay.
In the true community spirit, Billy's giving back and not putting a price tag on it. He's letting people enjoy. And I will say, one of the reasons I'm on this mic and that I've been out there with some bibs on was from a movie produced long ago called Race for the Soul. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first ultra running films or documentaries that I was exposed to, that listening to some of the runners and their stories and their tales drug me into this sport, and I knew what I was getting into. And Billy, I think you can be held responsible for many other people joining this sport and enjoying it. And so you've affected a lot of people and logged a lot of miles in other people's shoes because of your storytelling. So thank you very much for your talent and your time.
By the way, Don, I think I have that VHS tape that
you
loaned me.
You haven't returned it to me? I don't have a VHS anymore.
That's how long ago you loaned it to me, and I haven't returned it. So a VHS tape somewhere in my garage.
Yeah, I'd also like that skill saw that I loaned you, too.
Not done with it yet.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Don. If that's my little legacy that I leave behind, that would be amazing. I have a final question. Are we on a final question? Or
final thoughts. Final thoughts. Billy Yang. Yes.
Well, I know. You know, Magda's getting back at it. She just placed second at Tarawera. Anime gave it a go at Black Canyon. I believe you had another ankle flare up, but I know both of you are currently signed up for Lake Sonoma.
Nice.
Which is a Western States Golden Ticket race. So, in a very, very, very stacked field, might I mention. So,
and a tough course. Not easy. Not a big mountain there, but a lot of climbing by the time you add up the vert gain at the end of the day.
So I haven't had a chance to properly catch up with these two ladies. I just want to talk to them about their goals for 2017. And yeah.
Let's start with Anna May.
Okay. I'm actually in this, I don't know where to start. Basically, I think I wanted to trail race, not to be competitive. That was my original intent when I started trail racing. And then my first ultra was at Way Too Cool in 2000. I don't know when it was, 14. And then from there, it just kind of happened, and I wasn't prepared. Just training wise, my base, my mileage base is not where it needs to be to really compete and feel like I can sustain competing at the, you know, the ultra distance that I want to be able to compete at, 50-100. So I'm trying to scale it back right now and just trying to focus on my body and how I'm feeling. So I'm signed up for Lake Sonoma. I will most likely go into it the same way I did last year. Just right now I'm skiing, not really running as much, throwing in a little bit of tempo. That's where I'm at. Potentially go for a qualifier for Leadville, just because it gives me a little bm-hmm. bit more time to build. And then if that doesn't pan out and I'm not feeling confident, and feeling like my body is ready, then, I'll give a go at Run Rabbit. So as much as I'd love to gear up and go for a golden ticket, I realize who I'm up against. And so, you know, if I do like Sonoma, again, it's just to finish 50 miles and just go out there and have fun and see how I go. But yeah, it's, I feel like I'm in this this spot where, you know, I'm a Solomon athlete. So whatever that entails, basically, I'm competitive. I need to produce, you know, successful results. And so I'm trying to figure out where that is for me and what makes the most sense. So, but I will be back, you know, and I think what Devin had said earlier about, you know, whether when her first few tries at Western States or her first try, she said, you know, I'm not cut out for 100 miler, but I will, like right now, but in the future, when my body and when I'm ready to do this, I'll know. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, where I feel like I have a capability and I might have some raw talent in there somewhere, because it's just, I just race and whatever happens seems to happen. So I haven't quite figured out the volume and the training plan, and all that has just kind of been luck of the draw, to be honest. I just kind of show up and I have no expectations of myself other than I feel like I'm a competitive person with myself and against others.
Well, you clearly have the talent, and based on what I got to experience with you, you clearly have the heart. So it's just a matter of dialing in everything in between. So take your time with that for sure.
Yeah.
Magda, what about you? What are your thoughts about Golden Ticket and this year, the rest of this year?
Right. I think I'm going to start by saying, don't give up, anime. You definitely have talent, and that doesn't go away. All the cards just need to line up, and you got to listen to your body. Like, you know, like Devin said, you got to be ready. You got to be ready mentally, and the physical part doesn't go away. You will put the pieces together, and you'll be back stronger than ever. So,
thank you.
And it takes so much more than just fitness to finish a 100-mile race. You have to have a lot of heart, and you sure have that. So I want to see you there again.
Thank you.
And in regards to me, I'm coming. Yeah, I'm going for the Golden Ticket at Western States Golden Ticket at Lake Sonoma. And you know, I feel very fortunate to be healthy and have, you know, have put some good base training under my belt, and I feel good. And, you know, I'm not at this point where I'm very sharp, but I think this is exactly where I want to be. It's a long season. And, you know, again, despite everything going well, I don't think it's a given. I don't think that, you know, I can just say, hey, you know, I'm going to get my ticket at Lake Sonoma. I still have to earn it, and I still have to have a good day.
So last question is now that you are big movie stars, are you worried about the paparazzi?
Is that really how we want to go out, Scott?
Do you have people stalking you?
We've had all these questions, Scott, and that's what you're finishing off with.
It's inquiring minds.
Okay. I guess starting with you, Magda, are you worried about the paparazzi?
Absolutely. No, it's been actually kind of fun to, you know, to have people come up, say, I saw you in a movie. I actually just today, was in an event and I met, the CEO from Equator Coffee, and Billy's doing another movie with someone very special. And she's like, you're the one who was in that movie. So it's been, which we hosted the first screening at Equator Coffee. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about paparazzi, but it's been
talking about community, Scott, like how great the community is. Yeah, there's no stalkers in our community.
They're gonna like flock and
some outside of our community, like some road runners, perhaps.
Some triathletes that are hanging out outside your house.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Anime Flynn. Have you been bombarded, people outside of your home? You open the door and you have to close it and go out the back? I mean, give us the lowdown.
Absolutely not. I live in a very desolate place, and it's usually negative 10 degrees in the morning. So anybody that's out there at 6 or 7 a.m. by the time I walk out the door would really be like a diehard fan, and I don't think I have any of those kind of fans.
Well, you will after this podcast.
Yeah, after
you guys
right.
need to, You may need to lock your doors after the podcast gets released because...
Who knows what happens after that?
We have about 10 listeners, and they may be stalking.
Yeah, and five of us are here now, and Devin just went to sleep. So,
yeah. No, it's been great. I've gotten a few, I think, like Instagram messages from people in the community, and it's all been really positive, and it's been fun to be able to communicate with people and be like, really, you liked seeing? I'm just me, like. Magda's really awesome. She's like champion. You got Devin's a champion. I'm just like there doing my running thing in the woods and happened to be filmed. And so it's really humbling and inspiring to, you know, be, I guess, a role model in my own way.
Well, thanks for saying yes to Billy, because it has provided us all entertainment. It's provided us all a little bit of motivation,
inspiration,
and a chance to get together and eat popcorn. So thank you very much.
So go out and run,
Moss,
Magna, Anna May. Thank you so much. We look forward to following you at Lake Sonoma, all of the other places, and thanks so much for putting up with these glitches in the technology. We had no control over that.
I promise you, these guys usually have it dialed in. Tonight, for whatever reason, just Skype would not cooperate. I know both of you are
staying.
Yeah, both of you are staying behind. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Hey, we'll talk to you again and invite both of you back on, and hope that you join us again soon.